recorder so that we can make available to you a videotape, not a videotape, but a audio tape afterwards if you'd like. But it's my joy to share a little bit about our speaker, Drew Kroksgaard. And I've not known Drew for a very long time, and I asked him here a while back, how do you pronounce your name? He said, just think of Frog's Guard. So, Kroksgaard. Drew has a long history in the healthcare field. In 1996, 20 years ago, he joined the University of South Alabama and served in clinic administration with the Health Services Foundation, and also had financial responsibility for the state budget of the College of Medicine related to the education of medical residents and fellows in the department which he served. He retired in 2013, and at that time, there was a total of 8 different clinic locations throughout Mobile that came under his direct responsibility, operational responsibility. Drew grew up in New Orleans, graduated from 40-year high school, went on to attend the University of New Orleans, graduated with a general business degree, business administration. Went to work 41 years ago for the Baptist Medical Center in Jacksonville, Florida. The administrator of that hospital drew Drew aside and encouraged him to go back and get a master's degree in healthcare administration. So he did that at UAB and graduated in 1979. And while he was there, he met his wife of 34 years, Carol. And Carol is here today. Carol, we're glad to have you. Thank you. And Carol and Drew have 2 sons. And Brian is here with him today. We're glad to have Brian. Brian? Yes. In January of 1982, Drew and Carol got married and moved to Daphne, Alabama, where he served, Fairhope, Alabama, where he served as administrator at Thomas Hospital. And that was a time when they had 67 beds, but were in the process of increasing to 150 beds. And during that process, Drew became the chief administrator of Thomas Hospital. And then in 1996, he joined University of South Alabama, and that's where he retired 3 years ago. So Drew enjoys tennis. I know some of his tennis friends are here. He enjoys fishing, playing golf, and he has a passion now for studying the Bible and being involved in Christian activity. So please join with me in welcoming Drew up to the speaker's platform. Drew.
Thank you all so much for being here. It is such an honor to be even asked to share my personal story with you. I don't feel worthy. I feel very humbled just to be here today. I would like to start out with a short prayer if you could please bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be here today to share what you have done in my life. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through me to the hearts of these people present. Lord, I know that there is nothing at all anyone needs to hear from me, but everyone needs to hear what you have to say to us. Please use my testimony to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Jim was kind enough to introduce you to my family. I do want to mention that my wife is also in the healthcare field. She's a nurse, And she's got a heart of compassion and service, and you can see that in how she ministers to other people. I have another son outside of Brian who, his name is Jeff. He's age 32, and actually he's not here today, but his daughter is celebrating their first birthday today. And so I'm real happy about that. Brian and Erica have a son, Evan, and he's almost one. So we got two young grandchildren, and Jeff and Mary Jane are about to have their second in next October. Well, I wanted to mention that when I was asked to give my testimony, I was, excited about it and wanted to ask some friends if they would like to consider coming. Well, one of my tennis buddies, I had asked him if he'd consider joining me here and hearing what I had to say. And when I did, he looked at me and said, well, how long are you going to speak? I said, well, somewhere around 35 minutes. He looked quizzically at me and he said, you must have a lot of sins to confess. Well, I laughed, but at the same time he said, well, I think I will come because I need to hold something over your head and I might learn something about you. Well, what I would like to see my friend take away from this today is that even a sinner like myself, the Lord Jesus Christ can transform a life and make us more into a person like Jesus Christ. I have a long way to go, but I'm in a period of transition. As Jim said, I was raised in New Orleans, and by the way, Fort Jay is where I graduated. He said 40 Air, I think. But New Orleans people know how to say that sort of thing. Well, my parents, I was very blessed that I had parents that were Christians. They were actually from different denominations, my mom Catholic, my dad Protestant. But when we were age 10, they decided to find a church in common. So they ended up at a Presbyterian church. Well, through my understanding of the gospel message that I learned while there, and through the teaching of Young Life, which is an organization I went to while in high school, as well as from my parents, I asked Christ to be my Savior. So I was 15 at the time, and I had a lot of emotional experiences after that. You know, I was unfortunately drawn to the ways of the world. I wanted eternal life. I wanted a get out of hell card, but I didn't really want to give up my life. When I reflect on how I was, it reminds me of the parable of the sower that we hear about in Matthew 13. Four different seeds are sown. One of them along the path, another rocky places, another amongst thorns, and only one on good soil. While I would have liked to have thought I was on good soil, like the seed sown, I was amongst the thorns and I was drawn to the ways of the world. Well, there was little evidence, as you can imagine, that I was even saved. I started smoking cigarettes at 15. At 16, I got a fake ID and started frequenting bars. I couldn't even remember driving home at times. I smoked marijuana, not a lot, but occasionally. I really didn't want to go to church, but did. My parents more or less made me while I was living under their house. I was rather rebellious. My father was very committed to his relationship with the Lord. I didn't think I could live up to that, and I didn't want to at the time. I just thought that was not any fun. But I started dating a girl, and I did so for about 3 years. She was a Christian girl, wanted to save herself from marriage, so I, naturally consented. But when she and I broke up, I decided I wasted 3 years, so I started chasing women. And my main purpose was sex. Well, I got married before Carol, And we were married for nearly 7 years. I got married for all the wrong reasons. We had 2 children, were divorced, and I gave up the children for adoption to the husband and her that she remarried. And there was various reasons for that, which I won't go into today, but it was a very difficult thing for me to do. But I was blessed that Carol and I met while I was in graduate school. And she was also studying as to be a nursing administrator, and I was studying to be a hospital administrator. Well, we didn't mean to, but we fell in love. And she and I had different healthcare residencies. I went to Dothan and she went to Clearwater. We got married in 1982, and I ended up working at the place she did a residency for a period of 1.5 years. We then had an opportunity for me to go to Thomas Hospital in Fairhope. And when I did, I was the assistant administrator at the time. Well, I worked there for about 10.5 years, and during that time we had 2 sons, Jeff and Brian. My career was my number one priority. I mean, I really thought that was what it was all about. It was my career, earning money, being successful. And when I had time, I would simply spend my time on weekends doing things I wanted to do. So I got very involved in golf. My boys were very athletically inclined, baseball and golf. And I wanted to have a justification for being on the golf course, so naturally what I did was teach them golf. And so my wife became a golf widow until such time as she said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. We're just going to have a babysitter. So we ended up, she would play golf on Sunday afternoons. Well, I rationalized that, you know, I didn't need to go to church because I could worship God on a golf course. That's beautiful out there. Besides, church, it's full of a bunch of hypocrites. Well, not long after that, in 1993, I was asked to resign my position at Thomas Hospital. This was my dream job and a job that I thought I'd be at forever. But for various reasons, they wanted to make a change. Well, I tell you, this rocked my world because, as you know, career, in my case, career was my number one priority, even over my family. Well, my role as a provider, my self-esteem, it all plummeted. I was bitter. My vision for what my career was going to be was all shattered. The things I treasured most, which was my job and my success, was no longer something that I could see. My wife was working at a local hospital at the time, and she really wanted to stay here. So I tried to do what I could to stay locally and ended up trying to sell life insurance, ended up doing some consulting work, and finally ended up, after a 3-year period, doing things that I really didn't enjoy. Just to try to help make ends meet, I ended up being given an opportunity to work at the University of South Alabama. Well, I didn't realize it, but that was a real blessing for me because my priorities shifted. Well, I realized at the time that my wife and my family and they were much more important than my career. My career was a means to an end, but it was not the goal in and of itself. Well, when I was at South Alabama, one of my close friends, Mel Leggett, who's here today, he and I became really a kind of accountability partners, and he was a Christian man, and we would try to keep each other lifted up during difficult times at work. Well, I realized that the way Mel lived his life and the way I lived my life was different. Same occurred with another friend, Bill Ralph, who's also here. These individuals made me see myself as a farce. I claimed to be a Christian, but I didn't live a life dedicated to the Lord. Well, I want to shift now to my marriage. I am embarrassed to say that I was a negligent husband. I neglected my wife's emotional, spiritual, and physical needs. I got to where I was interested in pornography occasionally. I developed an online relationship, considered divorce, and I thought I could find happiness with someone else. The grace of God enabled me to see through that when my wife basically said, well, figure it out, but I can only tell you I love you and I'm here for you, but not if you cross a line. Well, I realized that my kids and my wife meant too much to me to do that. So in essence, I broke off that relationship before it even started. I then started to see a transformation in my life. I attended a marriage conference that my son asked us to attend at his church in Birmingham. It was called Ignite at Church of the Highlands. And we went reluctantly. We were married 30 years at the time. And I told him, I said, you know, I'd like to see you guys, but I don't know if I can learn anything. So we wanted to spend time with the kids, so we went. Well, there was a speaker named Jimmy Evans, who is also the CEO of Marriage Today. And he works as senior leader of Trinity Fellowship in Amarillo, Texas. Well, I know it sounds odd to say, but because we were married 30 years and that was very atypical, I thought I was a pretty good husband. I never cheated on my wife, not physically. Well, at this conference, the Holy Spirit convicted me. Not only was my marriage with Carol in trouble, but my relationship with Christ that I claimed was a farce. We were not doing marriage God's way. God expects us as a husband to resemble the relationship between Christ and His church. Well, the heart of a marriage that's a covenant marriage is Jesus Christ. And each day, we're supposed to choose to love our wife just as Christ loved the church. Well, I realize that the deepest needs of people are to be accepted, to have identity, security, and purpose. But you know what? I couldn't find that from Carol, and she could not find that in me. I realized that only Jesus could meet those needs. That we needed to have a covenant relationship and not just like a contract. It needed to be deep, long-lasting. It needed to be permanent. Nothing could separate us. Well, to do marriage God's ways require that it be a priority. It has to come first. It's got to rank before job, hobbies, parents, children. We have to pursue each other with our energy. It's work. You don't take each other for granted. It's about sharing. Everything that's hers is mine, and what's mine is hers. Well, I was convicted at this seminar I went to that I was a farce. Christ was not the center of my life and not the center of my marriage. I was living a lie. I was not sincere. I was a total hypocrite. Worse yet, I blasphemed the very name of God. I treated Christ as a component of my life, but He doesn't want that. I considered other things, to include my family, work, finances, golf, more important than God. When I finally realized there's a difference between adding God to your life or Jesus to your life and submitting your life or surrendering your life to Jesus, it all started to make sense. I saw myself as an ugly person. My heart was dark. I was impure. I had a lot of secret sins. I was selfish. I made a mess of my life. Well, Matthew 15, 24-25 says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whosoever wishes to lose his life for my sake will find it." Well, I realized at this point the depth of the depravity of my life and that I had failed doing it my way. I asked God to forgive me. I repented of my sins. And I surrendered my life to the Lord, Jesus Christ. I asked Him to help me learn how to live my life and to do so in a way that would bring glory and honor to Him. My purpose, my very existence now became glorification of God and not myself. I began to see a transformation and my life that I never saw before. The Holy Spirit now dwelt within me and was helping me change. Romans 12, 1-2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Well, going forward, I realize that confession of Christ as your Savior is only as good as how you live your life. You can claim to be a Christian, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, helping you understand how to live, and submitting your life and surrendering your life to Him daily, then you're going to fail. I realize that salvation is received by faith in the grace of God and nothing else. And it's only through Christ and His righteousness that we find refuge from the wrath that we all deserve. It's not our church membership. It's not whether we've been baptized. It's not who our parents were. It's not whether we said a sinner's prayer. It's not our works. None of that can save us from God's wrath. It's only Christ and the fact that He saved us from our sin and the wrath we deserve if we profess Him as our Savior and Lord. Works provide evidence of salvation, but it's certainly not what's required in order to be saved. In Scripture, we learn that our actions should flow out of who we are in Christ. The more we grasp our identity with Christ, and the more our actions then the more our actions should actually reflect who we are in Christ. I started to see a transformation in my life. The presence of the Holy Spirit was there, And it helped me start to understand God's Word and desire to read God's Word. Well, I started to develop a love for God that I never had before. When I started to see the gift of salvation that He offered me and the fact that I deserved nothing except death, but yet He offered me life, my love for God just escalated. I wanted to develop a relationship with Jesus. I knew, though, I was a frail man. I was a sinner. And I still am a sinner. But God filled a void that only God could fill in my life. I started to realize that I hated sin, but yet I still had a propensity to sin. I wanted to repent of my sin, and the Holy Spirit would help me see sin in my life that I never saw before. Things that I used to consider were okay, I now found to be unacceptable. I began to realize that a Christian should be a humble person. There's nothing about me that's any good except Christ in me. I had nothing to offer God. He has everything to offer me. I wanted a relationship with God, and I really worked hard to try to develop that relationship. Matthew 16:24 says that Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me." Well, that's what I was striving to do. I wanted to be devoted to God's glory, not my own. God deserves all the glory, and anything good in me is only because of God and what He's done. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." I recognize that my life needed to be about living for God, not for myself. My prayer life, I used to think that, okay, I can pray and ask God for things I wanted. But my prayer life became more about praising Him for what He is and what He's done in my life. Thanking Him for all our blessings, even our hardships, and recognizing He wants to hear our petitions, but He even more wants to hear our praise and thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Well, because we have the Holy Spirit in our lives once we accept the Lord, we can and should display the love of Christ. This is a selfless love. It's not only for God, but for others. Well, 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, because God is love." We're all loved equally by God. That's true. So we should love all people because we're all God's creation. I did not love all people. Well, we need to be separated but part of the world. We live in the world, but we should not be considered part of it. I was attracted to the world. I mean, I had a lot of things about the world that I liked. Well, 1 John 2:15-16 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." But we can overcome the attractions of the world. 1 John 5:4-5 says, "For everyone born of God..." overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, I started to see some spiritual growth, but here I am at age 60, and I just now surrendered my life to the Lord. Well, I started to desire to read God's Word. The more I read, the more I started to understand, the more the Holy Spirit would convict me of what I needed to do in order to live a Christian life. Well, number one, I was fortunate enough to, Mel invited me to consider Mars Hill Church, which I attended, and I really was attracted to it because it teaches biblical truths. And it asks us to actually challenge everything against Scripture. I started attending a community group, Bible Study Fellowship, and ultimately CBMC. I developed accountability partners that would enable me to walk life's journey in a way that each other would try to uplift each other and hold each other accountable when we strayed. So obedient living was something that I strive to do. But even yet, the life of a Christian is not easy. I continue to fight sin in my life. I desire my old self wants to come out. I am tempted, but the difference is I try not to continue practicing the same sin over and over. When I confess it, I try to turn away from it. We're not perfect people as Christians. We're just forgiven. Dying to yourself, something very hard for me, it's a way of life. Every day we have to realize it's not about me. It's about God and God in me. Am I too close or something? I know that we're all faced with a lot of trials in life. And I wanted to share that after becoming a Christian, it does not make everything easy. My wife had 4 operations. Two knee, 2 ankle surgeries. She had melanomas that luckily were taken care of. I had prostate cancer. It had spread to the bladder neck. Recently, I had a cardiac catheterization done because I had chest pain. And they ended up putting a stent last Friday in my right artery. My right coronary artery. Satan did not want me to speak today. But I can only say that God gave me the opportunity to be here, and I'm so thankful for that. I just want to make a few closing comments. We're all created in the image of God. And God loves each and every one of us. We're all considered significant. We last forever. But things of this world do perish. God does not want anyone to reject Him. We can spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Hell is for real. It's not just something made up. Heaven is not the default destination. Only those that accept the Lord and realize that it's only through Jesus Christ can they have eternal life will ever see heaven. God is a merciful God, but His judgment is for certain. We each have a choice to make. Where do you want to spend your eternity? Would you like to spend your eternity in heaven or in hell? Heaven is a wonderful, joyful, and unimaginable eternity. Hell is a separation from God. It's about eternal despair. It's under God's good and righteous judgment that we would face hell if we reject Him. But I want to say this. Like me, I did a lot of things. I did not deserve anything. I did not deserve God's grace or His mercy. Regardless of what you've done, where you've been in this life, God is ready and willing to forgive you. Salvation is a free gift from God. I would encourage you not to delay, because today is the day of salvation, meaning that either you die, it's too late if you haven't committed your life to the Lord, or when Christ returns, it's too late. God will grant you eternal life, and you'll have a life eternally with Him in heaven if you believe that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, on earth to die and pay the price that He did on the cross for our sins. If you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins. He will forgive you of your sins. You have to develop a personal relationship, however, with the Lord. And when you do so, you will experience life abundantly. Anything that you experience on this earth without Jesus is nothing. But with Jesus, everything makes sense. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you would join me and also experience the mercy that God offers all of us who accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord. My life with Jesus has meaning, has purpose. Without it, it means nothing. We're on this earth to make a decision. Do we choose God or do we reject God? That's the only reason we exist here. Eternity is a lot longer than our life on this earth. I ask that you choose wisely, because it's got eternal significance. God will receive you no matter what you've done if you ask genuinely for Him to come into your life and you surrender your life to Him. Thank you, each of you, for being here today and for letting me share my story with you. It's honestly a very humbling experience to stand before you. I've never stood in front of a crowd like this. But anything good in me is only Jesus Christ. And anything bad in me, well, that's on me. So I do thank you again for your attendance and ask God's blessing on each and every one of you.
I think the rain has let up, and we've got just a couple more minutes. You just heard a satisfied customer share what a difference his life has been since he invited the Lord Jesus into his life to take over. So again, Drew, we thank you for very vulnerably sharing what you were and what's going on now. And he talked about having an intimate personal relationship. He started hearing about God at a teenager. But there's more to it than that. You can know all there is to know about God. And you could even believe it. But unless you appropriate it by repentance and faith and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, it doesn't do you any good. On the table is an envelope in the center. If somebody would open that up, there's cards in there. If you distribute the cards around, there's pens. We'd like each and every one of you to register your attendance here today. And if you'd like to have an audio message of what Drew has shared, just there's a place on there that says a CD of today's speaker. Well, we've just come into the 21st century. We're now sending out MP3s. But check that box, and if you're set up with a computer to handle an MP3, fine. But if you're not, we'll be happy to make a CD for you. Just give us a couple of weeks to do that. But go ahead and fill out your name, your business address, particularly your email address, so that we can notify you of future luncheons like this and other events that we think might be of interest to you. Up across the top of that card are some statements and some little squares to the left of each statement. The very first one on the left, there's a little square but no explanation. That's there where if you just, based upon what you just heard and maybe what you've heard in the past and how the Lord has dealt with you, if today you've made a decision that you want to turn your life over to the Lord, check that box. And in doing that, you'll be giving us permission to contact you privately, not to embarrass you, not to sign you up for anything. We're not after your money. We just want to make ourselves available with your permission to get with you, open up God's Word, the Bible, and try and answer any question you might have, just to kind of solidify the decision that you've made or you want to make, but you want some more information. That's the purpose of that first box. All the other little boxes have some statements. And what that has reference to is some topical studies that we offer from time to time in the form of one-hour gatherings, 5 and 6 weeks. And typically we hold those in one of the suites under the stadium here. But if you'd find if any of those would be of interest, growing in your understanding of God, improving your husband and father skills. We've got that series going on right now. In fact, we've completed 5 sessions. We got one more session to go. I'd be a little late to get in on that, but we'll be offering that again in a few weeks. So if you'd like some help in your role of husband, father, we all need help in that category. And we have a real fine 6-week series that will give you some help and some ideas in that area. Check that box. And when we're ready to offer that again, we'll get a hold of you. Hopefully it fit in your schedule at that time. The bottom one on the left is business by the book. If you're a business owner or you're in top-level management where you're making decisions that affect the bottom line and other people, the Bible is the best handbook on running a business. Larry Burkett, who was pretty well known in Christian financial circles, I've heard him say more than once that most Christian businessmen that he was acquainted with, they're fine church members, they put money in the offering, they're Christians, but they're running their business according to the ways of the world. There's a better way. So we offer a series called Business by the Book. Larry Burkett was the author of that. And if you'd be interested in finding out more about it, just check that box and we'll get a hold of you and give you more information. Up in the right-hand corner, Gaining Freedom from Financial Worry. That series is going on right now. AJ, how many more weeks have you got with that? 2 more weeks. And it's a 6-7 week series?
8 weeks,
okay. Whether you know it or not, the Bible has about 500 verses on prayer. And we all know how important prayer is. The Bible has 2,350 verses that have to do with handling his money as a steward. And so he knew we'd need a lot of help. And that series is going on now. Would it be open for somebody to join you now, AJ, or come back a little late? Okay. If you're interested in that, AJ, stand up. You could check with AJ on your way out or check that box. And in doing that, we'll get a hold of you when that's ready to start up again, let you know. If you want to know more about CBMC, there's a brochure on the back table. It looks like this. The ministry of CBMC is to meet with men right where we are. We spend an awful lot of time in the marketplace. You do too. But meet men on the golf course, in a bass boat, wherever men are. Our ministry is to meet with men right where you are and to help you become the man God designed you to be. Be the husband to your wife, father to your children. Leave the godly legacy behind when you draw your last breath. And men of integrity in the marketplace. That, in essence, is the ministry of CBMC. Pick up a brochure on the way out if you'd like to know more. There's other resources on the back table that's available to you at no cost. There's a little brown brochure by John Beckett. John Beckett is the head of a company with over 600 employees, quite successful. And this is his personal testimony. You just heard Drew share his journey. In this little brown booklet is the journey of John Beckett. Feel free to pick that up. For those of you that are already believers, or you're wannabe or whatever, and you'd like a little shot in the arm to get back into God's Word regularly, John Beckett also has produced this little booklet called Next Steps. There's a 30-day Bible reading plan. Just a few verses each day and some commentary, a suggested prayer. If you'd like to have a little track to get you back in the habit of spending time in God's Word on a regular basis, feel free to pick that little booklet up, okay? There's a booklet back there entitled Lost, written by a local businessman here in Mobile who, at the age of 38, had already made a couple of $1 million, but he was taking his wife and children to church, dropping them off, and then he'd go to his place of business on Sunday and get out invoices and pay some accounts payable and so forth. But he told me that while he was in his office on one particular Sunday at the age of 38, the Lord dealt with him, and he's never been the same. And he has a heart to help everybody understand whether you're saved or lost. The word lost is not a Baptist term. Saved is not a Baptist term. Jesus said he came to seek and save that which is lost. So if you're not sure where you are spiritually, or maybe you've got some family members. One of the gentlemen that drove all the way over from Pensacola today to be here was sharing with me how his mom and dad and a brother, late in life, finally realized their need to turn their life over to the Lord. He's got some other family. Anyway, if you've got some family that you'd like to help them find out where they're at and where they need to be, feel free to pick up that little booklet, okay? And if we run out, let us know and we'll get some to you. So there's a couple of Bible reading plans on the back table in white sheets like this, 8.5 by 11. One of them is you read through the Bible in a year's time following that outline. There's one that's a chronological Bible reading plan. It takes you to different places in the Bible chronologically. If you've been reading the Bible regularly for a time, you might want a little different approach. Feel free to pick that up. But we thank you for choosing to come and be with us today and pray that you'll give consideration to what Drew shared, and that the Lord will use that in your life to bless you or provoke you. And so let me just dismiss us with a word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for drawing us together here today. Thank you for speaking through Drew to each and every one of us. And Father, you who know the hearts of all men, I pray that as we leave this place and go to our separate ways, by your word and by your spirit, you would deal with each and every one of us in the inner man according to your knowledge of our needs. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.